Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Riley Auk. Streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And this is the best college sports show in America. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Auk, The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams. Hello, Wisconsin. Riley, I am taken aback at the optimism shown by Phil Steele. One, that Phil Steele still put out things. I feel like I read Phil Steele's magazine and had the hard copy that weighed 400 pounds when I was a kid. And I remember getting annoyed with them because it was so, it was in-depth and good, but even then, and now it's impossible to make print, it was outdated. There would just be a few guys might transfer or leave, or someone comes out of nowhere, and they're not in the publication. But that's the issue with a publication. Like, back then, I would imagine that you probably could already buy it by July, for which means it was printed in, like, May. And so it is very early. So congrats to Phil on staying in the game, but he thinks Wisconsin is going to double their win total, which is interesting. I don't know if it's more shocking to me that he thinks they're going to double their win total, or he thinks that they're going to score 27 points per game. So is it more surprising that he believes in the Badgers or that he believes in the Badgers' offense, Riley?
That's a great question. I'd say the Badgers' offense, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty. I was doing a little research ahead of time, and if they average 27 points a game this season, that would put them at 73rd in the country. If you take last year's stats, that's actually equal with Jason X New Mexico Lobos. They average 27.1 points per game, which is Phil Steele's projection for the Badgers this year. 73rd, it's not great, but it's a hell of a lot better than 135th.
So 22, right? That's what they averaged last year?
No, I believe they averaged like 12.
12?
Yeah.
I thought that was in Big Ten. Okay, so even worse than I thought. All right.
Let me quick pull this up. I have it open on sportsreference.com. I know they only finished ahead of one FBS team, which was the UMass Minutemen, who averaged, they were 136th and averaged, 11.1 points per game. Wisconsin averaged 12.8.
Oh, even worse than I thought.
Points per game last
season.
Just atrocious.
But, like, the thing I have with the 27, which the jump, legit. The jump, absolutely legit. The question is, like, the Ducks, Ohio State, Penn State, and the Badgers aren't playing all those teams, but you are in the same conference as them. They put that up at halftime.
Yeah.
So it is, like, it is a monumental leap for the Wisconsin Badgers to get to 27 points this year. And yet that is still, as you talked about when you frame it in the overall thing of college football, well below of what is needed for the Badgers to get back to where they were. But 27 will be a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think getting back to where they should be, where they're supposed to be, I was looking for a comp while digging through these stats, and this might sound ridiculous at face value, but hear me out. Alabama last year made the college football playoff. They had the 49th ranked offense in the country and averaged 29.5 points per game. That seems reasonable. If you're projecting Wisconsin to average 27 points a game, who's to say they can't kick an extra field goal per game? So if Wisconsin gets up to 29.5 points, would put them roughly at that 50 mark.
And what then was Alabama's like strength of schedule?
Strength of schedule, it was up there because they're in the SEC, but probably more comparable to Wisconsin's schedule this year, which is easier. The easiest in the Big
Ten. I think Wisconsin's schedule last year probably a better comp to Alabama's schedule last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
which is really hard.
Right, which the Badgers scored 11.
Exactly. So, but that's the thing. With an easier schedule this year, I think that's That's doable. Alabama also had the 20th ranked defense in the country, gave up 19.2 points per game. Wisconsin had the 40th ranked defense last year. I don't think those numbers are unattainable this year for Wisconsin, given how much easier their schedule is than it was last
year. So that's what I wanted to ask you, is that what is Phil still believing in truly? Is it Luke Fickell? Is it Grimes, the OC? Mm-hmm. Is it Colton Joseph? Or I think we're on the same page, the schedule.
It's the schedule. And I think it's all of the above. But ultimately, I think what Phil's kind of getting at is now there aren't any excuses left for Luke Fickell. If Colton Joseph stays healthy, obviously there will be some injuries. But if they're pretty minimal, if they're average, what every other school has to deal with, I think he's getting rid of excuses. Because this year, by all accounts, it's a better roster they're putting on the field. It's a significantly easier schedule. You have a more experienced coaching staff. And the path is so much more manageable than it's been. So I think Phil might be a little more aligned with where I stand on Luke Fickell, where I think if you put all those factors together, I still believe Fickell is a darn good coach in college football. And now, you take out all the excuses. Can he coach a high-level team in the Big Ten? I think he can, which is why I think he's going to get 8 to 10 wins this year.
So
and
let's
that's
say
where Phil stands.
Let's say it's eight.
On eight.
Let's say it's eight. Let's just be fair.
Yes.
I don't want to set high expectations
yep.
here. Eight's a really awesome number here.
Yeah,
so
for
we
what we've
seen
had
in a while.
To deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. So if Wisconsin gets to eight games, what percentage, 50-50, 30-70, 50-50, mm-hmm. is they got better? And how much has their schedule got worse?
Okay, I think I'd say, again, I'm going to be more complimentary towards the team. I think it's going to be 40% easier schedule, 60% the team, and the coaching staff is a lot closer to where they want it to be than they've had it in years past. So I'm definitely not discounting. The easy schedule is going to help significantly. And it's funny how an easy schedule also includes Notre Dame, Penn State, USC. Like, that's just where we're at in college football. But lots of marquee games. It's fun. So I'm not discounting the schedule. That's going to help a ton. But I do think this team is significantly closer to what Fickell and the organization as a whole expected when he first got here.
All right. So back to the 27 points, though. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, 27 just says they're competent.
Yeah. That's literally middle of the pack.
Yeah.
That's right in the middle.
So they're going to go from incompetent.
Yep.
Some would say incontinent on offense, but to something that is competent. It's not mm-hmm. explosive. That's not.
Yeah.
There might be an explosive play. I feel like if you push me, I can name five and only five true explosive plays the Badgers had last year.
Yeah, I mean, they posted one on social media a couple days ago, Darion Dupree's run against Illinois. That was I forgot. I remember I wrote it down when me and Corey Sparks were prepping for that post game.
Yep.
That was the first, like, 20-plus yard run by a running back, I think, all season or in the past year and a half. It was something ridiculous. So, and that's the thing. If Wisconsin's offense just gets to competency, if they just get to the middle of the pack, they're going to win so many more games than they have in the past. That defense carried them to four wins, two against ranked opponents to end the season. If they just had anything resembling a decent product last season, they're going bowling.
Right. It is crazy to me where this team is.
Yeah, and that's with the hardest schedule in the country last year. Like, they should have gone 6-6, if not should have. They could have if they had a remotely competent product on the offensive side of the football. They had the second worst offense in college football. It was disgusting to watch week in and week out. So even that's why I'm okay if they get to 73rd. I'd prefer, and I think they can get up to that 50-ish mark. I think that would put them closer to where they want to be and we want to see them as fans. But even competency is just so much better than what we've seen.
All right. I'll give you that. All right. Let's get the next one. Now we want to talk about, Phil still loved the offense.
Yep.
27 points. Where's that coming from? And it's interesting how we want to do this. So mm-hmm. Let's just make it the obvious. I don't want to get clipped or get all of a sudden we put this on social and we look like a bunch of morons. So mm-hmm. we're just going to go with the top Are we going three or five here?
I think five. Okay. Do you have five ready to roll?
Yeah, we can do five. We can go five. I think they're probably going to be the same five. So,
probably.
I might just tell you if I disagree.
Okay.
But who are the top five instant impact players you think will help the Badgers on offense this year?
Yes, so by instant impact, Owen, could we get a little music? Ah, there it is. He's ready to go. Let's do it. By instant impact, I only looked at transfer portal, incoming transfer portal.
So let's
players.
Pause there. I agree with you on that. So I think we're going to have the same list. But I think there could be freshmen that have minor impact. Mm-hmm. But I think for the team to actually be successful, it needs to be the portal players coming in. So
yes.
We're on the same page.
Okay,
that.
Yes. And I do think there are a couple veterans who have been here a while, like Chris Brooks and Grant Steck, that aren't on this list that I do think will have a bigger impact in the offense than maybe some people think. But all that aside, number one, the obvious, Colton Joseph. He's going to be the straw that stirs the drink of Wisconsin's offense. He's the engine. If he has a good season, so will the Badgers' offense. If he gets hurt or he doesn't, Badgers probably not going to get to that 27-point marker that Phil Steele has met. So Colton Joseph from Old Dominion, number one.
Well, yeah, so I agree with you on that. He was a four-star transfer, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
So I think he, if he's healthy, will have the best season a Badger quarterback has had. Honestly, forget the Luke Fickle era because everyone got upset about that.
Yeah.
Like, since whom? I mean,
Jack Cohn? Jack Cohn, I'd say. Alex Hornibrook, depending on if you're a bigger fan of Hornibrook than Cohn.
We're going back that far.
Yeah.
So are we pushing a decade?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause what?
Is it since Stave?
Bart Houston and Hornibrook were 2016. Then Hornibrook was 17.
And 18.
And 18. And then you had Cohn in 19.
All right. So then I think this is the statement that we can agree on, that if the Badgers are going to score 27 points a game, set by Phil Steele, Colton Joseph will be the best Badgers quarterback since Joel Stave.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, the last time the Badgers had close to 27 points per game, it was 2019 when it was 34 points per game, and that was with Jack Cohn. So
yeah,
I love Jack Cohn, but
Jonathan Taylor too, yeah. which did help a lot.
And I'm not talking about throwing the ball. I mean, as a complete player for Colton Joseph,
mm-hmm.
like that's what I see out of him. I want to see someone that. Kind of, honestly, I know it's the Badgers show, but it's a little bit, I want him to look like Malik Willis with the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, hey, strategic throws, and then good runs, and mix it all together, and just take its advantage of his size and skill set, and just kind of be the best football player you can be.
Yeah, and if he does that, I think Badgers fans are going to be pretty darn happy with what they see.
Yep. I was going to say, because Packer fans loved Malik Willis, and there was some chirping over for Malik Willis over Jordan Love. So I think Badger fans would be very happy with some production like that.
Yes, and anything is going to be better than what we had to see last year. So Colt Joseph, obvious number one. Number two, this may not equate to how everyone orders their list, but number two, I'm putting center Austin Kowecki, the Oklahoma State transfer. Wisconsin had seven different offensive line combinations through 12 games last year, and four different guys started at the center position. The Badgers need stability up front if this offense wants to succeed, and Kowecki is going to provide that, especially at the center position. We saw early in spring ball, the snaps were a little bit of an issue, but that got cleaned up as spring went on, so I'm confident Austin Kowecki is going to be the second most important transfer instant impact addition that the Badgers made this offense. He's going to anchor that offensive line.
We're joined a little bit later by Jake Kokorowski, and so for me, Kowecki is just a Badger offensive line.
Yeah,
name.
It's just like, I mean, it's great
just,
name.
It's just that it's perfect. So
Polish.
Yeah. I had them three or four. I think I had them fourth.
Okay.
So I had them on the list.
Yep.
A little slight difference in where we had them. But, yes, the offensive line is going to be important. And I like the pedigree coming from Oklahoma State.
Okay. Number three, I have Abu Sama, the third, from Iowa State. Badgers need to excel on the ground again. I put Kowecki ahead of him because I think that starts with the offensive line. But he's got to have a big year. He has the home run hitting capability. We saw that from time to time in spring ball. Once he was back from injury, he was nursing a couple things, but they appeared to be minor. I'm not too worried about that. The Badgers haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Braylon Allen in 2022. That's absurd. That's way too long. He's going to be the workhorse back, and I expect him to thrive in this offense.
So, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but I think Sama will be the most important. Obviously, the quarterback is there.
Really?
But Sama's to be the most talked about. Like, okay. As far as, like, nationally, he'll be better at his position than Joseph as a quarterback. I think Joseph's going to be kind of that gamer quarterback,
mm-hmm.
where it's going to be 2,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. But Sama is the one. I just have this feeling that the Badgers finally have a back, that 1,000-yard rushing back, and the Badgers have gone so long without it that that's going to be a national story. And I think he's going to be the one that I think puts the ball in the end zone for the Badgers, too.
Okay.
I think he's going to be the touchdown scorer for this team. So I see over 1,000 yards and 10-plus touchdowns for Sama, and I think he's going to have some big plays this year.
All right. I hope so.
It's been a long time since they've had a back, and I really think he's the guy that could make something happen. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I like him coming from Iowa State. It's a good program.
Yeah, and I think Dupree, as sort of the change of pace back, more of a scat back. He ran with a bit of power last year, but we saw he was able to bust some long ones last year. I think him as the change of pace is going to be a great duo.
Game, yep. I think he's a good passing weapon. I'm a big fan of Dupree. I mean, realistically, again, back to how far we've fallen, yeah. Both backs should have 1,000 yards. I mean, 2,000, if I'm not wrong on this, it's been maybe since Braylon Allen, if not longer, the Badgers have had 2,000 yards rushing as a team.
Let me see if I can do
that.
That
was the goal
I set
last year for this team, to get 2,000 yards rushing and over 4.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, and really, it's one thing where it's like, if one thing is happening where you have the running backs getting the 1,000 yards, the 10 touchdowns, another thing is happening. And that means the offensive line is getting push up front.
Yeah.
And that's another great thing and a great sign for a good offense.
So Braylon Allen, he was the last 1,000-yard rusher in 2022. The last time the Badgers had 2,000 yards on the ground was 2019. Jonathan Taylor had 2,000 yards himself. 2,003 rushing yards. He also ran for over 2,000 yards in 2018. Then you have to go back to Melvin Gordon.
So you don't have to look it up, but I don't know if it was at Kansas, but I know at Bay, like Grimes was putting 2,000 yards rushing mm-hmm. together for those offense. I think it was even at Kansas that mm-hmm. his one season there they had 2,000 yards rushing as a team.
Yeah, I believe you're correct. I don't have I could
you
fact
have
check
to, I,
that
I,
real
I,
quick,
I feel pretty
but
good about
I,
it.
I'm
yeah.
I'm pretty confident. I also saw that.
You definitely it's on his resume. Who else do you got on your list here? So we're through three of them.
Yeah, we're through three. Number four, PJ Wilkins, the big fella from Ole Miss, left tackle. He's projected to be the starter on Colton Joseph's blind side. Again, similar to Kowecki, you need consistency up front if you're the Badgers, and you need Colton Joseph to stay healthy if you want to succeed. And PJ Wilkins, he's a big boy, over 300 pounds. You need him to excel this season to make sure Joseph stays upright, good to go, and this offense can churn.
When the Badgers were at their best, they had pro offensive linemen and great college running backs. And that's what they need to be back, and hopefully they're getting back to that.
Yeah, from Ole Miss, PJ Wilkins, if I neglected to mention that. And last but certainly not least, Jacob Harris, number five, the tight end from Bowling Green. He is currently projected to be the number one tight end. I think Grant Steck's going to give him some push for that. Could be a 1A, 1B type situation. I chatted with him during spring practice, and Jacob Harris believes he has the best hands in the country.
Love it.
Out of tight ends, receivers, anyone. And we saw he made a couple highlight reel catches throughout spring ball. Dude is going to be a weapon from tight end, out of the slot. Jeff Grimes loves using tight ends and multiple tight ends. He's a big fella. He is tall. He can block. He can catch. He can stretch the defense. Very, very excited to see what Jacob Harris does this season for the Wisconsin Badgers. And fun fact about him, he relaxes by going birding. He goes to the Arboretum and he looks for birds. I'll have to go back and check the interview I did with him because I recorded this answer, but I think there's a certain owl he's trying to track down right now out at the Arboretum, but seems like a great guy, can cook too, one of the better cooks on the team. So I love this guy, super nice dude, and very talented as well.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
And we have the same list, because I think tight end the position
mm-hmm.
back to when Wisconsin was good, and that's what they say they want to get back to on offense. Tight end was important as well.
Mm-hmm.
Left tackles went to the NFL. Tight ends went to the NFL. Running backs went to the NFL. Can we get back to that? And the quarterbacks were gamers.
Yep. And I think that's what it looks to me that that's so much closer to what the Badgers have going into this year than anything we've seen since Fickell got here, even the end of the Paul Christ era. This team seems to have the makings of a classic, if not an elite, Wisconsin football team. So one more time, quickly through the list. Colton Joseph, Austin Kwecki, Abu Sama, P.J. Wilkins, and Jacob Harris as our top five instant impact Badgers coming into 2026.
All right, let's get to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
All right, let's hear from Brady Ewing, who is a former Badger player, played in the heyday, and then obviously now is in working with the Badgers football team with alumni relations.
We welcome back a bunch of football alumni today. Ended up with 55-60 plus here, and gave them an opportunity to reconnect with each other, reconnect with the program, and really just feel that Badger brotherhood that we're all excited about. Got out on the field, watched some of the current workouts with the current athletes. Then we went in, Coach Fickell had a chance to address the guys, give an update on the program, some of the things he's excited for, and answer questions from the guys. And then did a construction tour of the new facility, giving the guys the opportunity to connect with each other as alumni, but also connect with the current program. Now that I've been here, I think 2 months or a little bit more, being able to focus in on how can we get guys back, create unique experiences for them to connect with each other, but the current program, that's really what I'm passionate about. I thought overall it was great. Lots of good feedback from the guys. They're excited to be back around and start building that connection.
Can Brady just be the AD?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I love that.
I hope they were doing something like this in the past because it's common sense, but Brady's crushing it. Brady was around when I was covering the team. He was from Richland Center. I believe he came in the freshman class, Mike, my first year here. Might have been my second year here. Kind of feels like with Travis Frederick. But he is what it means to be a Badger. I mean, he came here, worked his way up the depth chart, had his moments, but was kind of a quiet leader on the team, did everything that was asked of him. From Wisconsin, plays for the Badgers, plays in the NFL for a little bit, works in the outside world as far as different sales jobs in different parts around the Wisconsin community, and comes back to the Badgers. I actually think he's perfect for this because he also understands that the Badgers don't have alumni. They have, as he said, their brotherhood. These guys are permanent. Once a Badger, always a Badger. And Derek Engler used to give, and probably still gives, Tarik Sella a bunch of crap saying he's permanently on scholarship. And it's the idea of, like, you are always trying to help this Badger program. We've had Soup on. He said, just ask Lamar Soup Campbell, and I will help. All these guys want to help. They just want to be asked because they don't want to feel like they're overstepping their bounds. And so I think Brady is the perfect person for that because also he comes from an era where a lot of really good Badger players are successful in the real world and also have ties and want Wisconsin to be great.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I'll keep my answer short because you nailed it right there. But I think this is going to end up being the most important off the field hire that Luke Fickell makes in his time at UW. Like Brady, awesome dude. I've had the chance. He's come on this show. I've had the chance to talk to him a few times off air, and he is phenomenal. He's so good at what he does. He is doing yeoman's work connecting all of this together, the best of the past with the present. And I love that they're getting the chance to talk with Fickell. They have the chance to see why are we doing things a certain way now. And I think that's really important. If you want the support of the past and of the general public, you need to get these guys on your side. And Brady is crushing it. Love to see what he's doing. This has been awesome.
All right, let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, guys. So digging deep into the Twitter portal this week. First off, we're going to lead off with right here. Sorry. The New York Knicks won the NBA title over the weekend. And I think this is a perfect time to kind of go back down memory lane when the 2017 Wisconsin Badgers beat the 2026 NBA champions, the Villanova Wildcats, with Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Mikal Bridges. Do you guys believe that this was the biggest win in Greg Gard's career at Wisconsin?
Ooh, it's a good one. I mean, I would say yes. It's certainly the best win on paper. in Greg Gard's time as a head coach. I mean, if he had beaten Florida and so on and so forth in that tournament, those would have been the most important wins. But that team was so stacked. They were coming off a national championship win.
Number one overall seed in the tournament.
To knock them off with, and this is not to downplay the skill of that year's Badgers team, but with a team led by Bronson Koenig, Nigel Hayes, Zach Showalter, Ethan Happ, and Vito Brown, like, that's impressive. That's impressive. It was awesome. I remember watching that game at my uncle's house here in Verona. That was amazing. An amazing moment as a Badgers fan. Nigel Hayes cemented his legend as a Badger that game. I would say it is. Greg Gard's had several phenomenal regular season wins, but due to the nature of that win, I would agree. I would say that's the biggest win in Greg Gard's tenure as a head coach.
Yeah. I mean, you have to account for the tournament. It's what matters. It's, I don't know. I think people play basketball to win NBA titles and to win the NCAA tournament or go to the Sweet 16. So, like, the games are great. That's part of the journey. But the destination is to win the whole damn thing. And winning that game and beating that team is still a feather in the cap. I'm sure somewhere Bronson and Showie and Happ and all the rest of them were like, this is great. But we got a chance to say we beat them in college.
Yeah. I bet that team's group chat was probably going off after the Knicks won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on with the World Cup going on. It's given a lot of opportunity for the European soccer fans to experience NFL stadiums. You know, you got the European biggest sport in the world with soccer. And then you come over to North America, biggest sport, at least for the United States, football. So when you get a stadium comparison, this is from Brett Baker. So he wants to introduce to the European soccer enthusiasts Camp Randall, built in 1917, the Rose Bowl, 1922, Kyle Field, 1922 as well, and Memorial Stadium, 1923. He says English football and American college football are much closer in comparison than the EPL in the NFL. College football fans would rather lose an arm than see a new stadium built. Do you guys agree that college football fans are crazy when it comes to their stadium and the history of their stadium?
Yes.
Yeah, I never thought about it, because also, it's probably a little bit by the world we live in. Like, I don't know where they're getting the money for a stadium. So that's part of it as well. So we all love Camp Randall, and we love the improvements that are going there. There's still plenty more improvements to make that more fan friendly and enjoyable.
The student section in particular.
Well, I mean, I believe the student section was structurally unsound for a little bit. So with the jump around. So I think it's a little bit by necessity, but I do agree, because of that necessity, you've kind of come up with this love. It's like that home that's been passed through generations, and you don't want to tear it down. You just keep on remodeling it.
Yep. 100 years of camp. We're over 100 years. The history is phenomenal. Do I think they could use maybe more than one bathroom outside the student section that isn't super crammed? Yes. Do I think they could widen those tunnels and maybe open a gate to the student section? Maybe. There's a lot of things they could use to improve.
Lot more bathrooms.
Yes. but it's Camp Randall's the best.
Yes.
I love it. Badgers fans love it. I agree with the comparison to the English soccer stadiums. So much history, so much love. It's amazing.
All right, and I saved the best for last. There was a lot going on Twitter between Wisconsin and Minnesota over the past week.
It's ratcheting up.
And a lot of it came from new offensive line coach Eric Mateos. He was promoting for the 2028 class to go live for recruiting, and was highlighting, some Minnesota players. Let's look at the state of Minnesota. Who can we grab from our border battle rivalry? His comments were just flooded with Gopher fans, and I think it was just best to put his response to the tweet as a whole, where he said, "I'm learning how sensitive these folks are." Do you guys believe that that this point in time with Wisconsin and Minnesota, this is the most heated the rivalry has ever been?
No. The Badgers aren't holding up their end of the deal. And so it also got pretty heated when, I don't know the coach of Minnesota, but Brett was, when he was here, piled on the points at one point, where the Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur handshake looked cordial compared to how that game ended. I believe that Minnesota, is it Tim Brewster, I'm 99% sure, was the guy at Minnesota when this happened. And so there were times where, because the Badgers, especially under Brett, I think that was at its best. Even though Minnesota wasn't holding up at their end of the deal, Brett brought so much, like, he understood the rivalry and would pile on. And there were moments in there, but yeah, I would say it was then. Because right now, it just seems to lack juice because Minnesota's not Wisconsin of back in the day. And Wisconsin's not holding themselves to the best standard, too. So then it's like, all right, you got a 7-win team that beats a 4-win team. I know the rivalry's there, but when there's stakes involved, whether it's Minnesota trying to play spoiler for the Badgers or the Badgers just trying to beat another coach into submission, that was, I think, a little bit more heated because I think Minnesota was pretty pretty upset because I think they went an entire 18 years, so basically birth to someone enrolled at Wisconsin without ever beating the Badgers.
Sniffing the axe. And what year... I would love to say yes, because I do love how much it is appears to be ratcheted up this offseason. I think Mateos and then Fickell hiring away Jaden Everett from the Gophers definitely increased the juice coming in, because Everett also commented.
I was just going to say, he was part of that too.
Yeah, he commented on Mateos' post saying, "I know, right?" or something along those lines, poking fun at the Gophers, and the Gophers fans freaked out at him. But what was the year that Minnesota wouldn't let the Badgers chop down the goalposts? Because that's why now they leave it on the goalposts instead of letting them run to the sidelines and collecting it. Because
Paul
was
here
so
for that?
Much cooler. I can't remember. I know. I think it was late 2000s, early 2010s when that got switched. Maybe we can ask Jake Kokorowski, see if he remembers. But I think it is definitely approaching the most heated it has been. It's definitely the most heated it has been in the past decade plus. But I think some of those games where you watch back, like the block punt, that standoff, I think there have been times it's been a little more intense in the past, but I love the vitriol. I love the energy coming into this season, and the axe. The axe is coming home, and it feels good.
It says here, temporarily stopped in 2014, before the 2014 game.
That's when it was, man. What then, losers.
But that was chopping down, and I think that is done, but they did bring the... No, because I remember that Minnesota chopped at Camp Randall.
Exactly, one year Minnesota got butt hurt and stood in front of the goalpost. No, you can't chop down a goalpost.
So it is back. It is back.
Yes,
it was suspended. It was back, though. Okay.
Yes, so lame. It's just, again, it is the... I can't think of the word. The pinnacle of Minnesota athletics right there. It just shows their character. Sad.
Or lack of. All right, let's... we'll get to our guest in a second here. But Steinhoffel's Furniture and Mattress is celebrating America 250 with huge savings for your home. Right now, save up to 30% store-wide, plus get a $250 MasterCard when you spend $2,999 or more. Whether you're shopping for a new sofa, bedroom set, dining room, or mattress, now's the perfect time to save big and bring home the styles you love. Celebrate the Steinhoffel's America 250 sale. Shop in-store or anytime at steinhoffels.com. Jay Kokorowski, next.
I figured we'd celebrate Father's Day right this year, so I came prepared.
I cannot tell a lie. I may never stand again.
Oh, that's not in any history book.
It's Steinhoffel's America 250 sale, and we're celebrating with savings up to 30% store-wide, plus a $250 MasterCard with your purchase of $29.99 or more.
This is Independence. Relax. It's Steinhoffel's.
And now we welcome in Jake Kokorowski into the show. And Jake, thanks so much for hopping on with us. And before we get rolling here, why don't you tell everyone kind of what you've been up to and what you're working on?
Yeah, man, appreciate you guys having me on. And hopefully my audio, my video looks all right on and whatnot with my setup. But yeah, no, I've been working on Badger. Yes. Oh, I love that. I always love that when I listen to you guys. So, no, I've been working at Badger Observer. It's going on a year.
Nice.
Next month. It's been a great journey covering Wisconsin football once again since 2013. And Did it on my own. And then on top of that, also, you know, covering women's volleyball, which obviously they had a commitment yesterday, and, you know, and working through and learning more about that sport and more, learning more about the program there, and also men's basketball, and of course, recruiting. And obviously, Wisconsin's been really good. I mean, you could argue for all three of those programs that I cover, it's been very impressive to see what Wisconsin's done in the last month plus. So, but yeah, there's always busy, BadgerObserver.com, and, you know, right now, summer stuff, like $5 a month and only 50 a year, and maybe some things updating coming up too. So, yeah, I got maybe some things in store. We'll see what goes on. But yeah, but no, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yep. Amazing. And glad to have you, Jake. And I think you just heard us talking about the Wisconsin-Minnesota rivalry. Can you confirm, do you remember covering the game where Minnesota did not let Wisconsin chop down the goalpost? Do you by chance remember that?
What year was that?
I think it was 2014.
Okay, yeah. No, I was not really covering, like, being on the beat mm-hmm. at that time. I do remember that. I do vaguely remember that.
It was a core memory for Riley here.
Yeah, I was saying.
It was Gary Anderson. The Badgers attempted to chop down the goalpost while Minnesota was singing 13, Hail then. Minnesota, leading to a near brawl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
That would be 13 then. Yep.
All right. Just wondering. But anyway, moving into the present now, Jake. I know you've been at some of the prospect camps that the Badgers have been hosting recently. Could you tell us a little bit more about those? Maybe give a brief explanation for those who aren't as familiar. And then what have been some of your takeaways from those?
Yeah. No. It's been pretty busy. I was at three of the four prospect camps, and so essentially what Wisconsin does, and they do it every year, you know, they did it underneath Paul Crist, they've done it underneath others as well, you know, like Luke Fickell. And so this year was a little different, where they had two kind of skill position camps. So, you know, those that play quarterback, running back, receiver, you know, tight end, and then on the flip side, linebacker, safety, cornerback, etc. there. And then on the, you know, they had two, they call them, like, I think they call them big man showcases. And so that's where offensive, defensive linemen, edge rushers were among that group. And so, you know, they had four of them, which concluded, the last one was on Sunday. And it's a way for Wisconsin to evaluate players and to see, you know, one of the commitments that just came through, Jack Tabert from Pewaukee, another in-state kid, was the 10th you know, in-state kid to commit to Wisconsin's class. He came out the first Sunday of the big man showcase, and he earned himself an offer, and you know, subsequently flipped from North Dakota State. And so, you know, so it's a chance for the staff to evaluate, and you know, you've seen offers go out. You know, we're looking around in town. You know, D'Angelo Clay from Monona Grove mm-hmm. Tweeted out last week that he received a preferred walk-on offer from Wisconsin, and he's a standout defensive lineman within the, you know, within the Madison area and within the state, really. And so, you know, but you see stuff like drills, you see, you know, they do, like, you know, kind of the combine stuff, right? 40-yard, you know, the 5-10-5, other combine type measurements they'll track, and then they go to positional drills. Then they'll go to some, you know, like for the linemen, they'll do one-on-ones, whether it's run blocking kind of or pass protection type things. And let's say for obviously skill positions, it's routes on air and then one-on-ones. And then the running backs do their certain things too with Jaden Everett. So it's a really interesting time to kind of see who they're looking at and who comes. And it's resulted in some offers. And, you know, for Wisconsin, it added to their recruiting class just last week.
So what do you think one thing that people who follow Wisconsin football, fans and everything, are underestimating right now about the football program?
I think how good the defense could be. I think, you know, I think the offense will be better. I think, well, let's just be sure. It has to be better, right? for what it was one of the, with what happened. And granted, you don't envision Wisconsin having to go to its third or fourth quarterback once again. And if it does, I don't know what to tell y'all. But it's, you have, you know, I think the defense could be really good. And I mean, it starts obviously with that, the sophomore tandem of Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa. I think they added to the inside linebacker room with John Kamara. They've done some three linebacker sets, you know, and we saw that even last year, really. But John Kamara is a Kansas transfer who looked really sharp, and saw the athleticism. He could be in the backfield. He could, you know, be on, you know, second level of the defense too. And with, you know, I think he had an interception. I think it was the first spring practice there. But, you know, I think even with, like, let's say the defensive line, right? They lost four key contributors last year. It was exhausting their eligibility, essentially. They bring in four transfers. They see guys like Charles Perkins and I would say Nolan Vills, you know, who came to Wisconsin as a walk-on, you know, step up too. So I think there's depth at that defensive line where I was impressed, and you didn't really see, in my eyes, a drop-off. But then, you know, I also like the defensive backfield a lot. I think Matt Young could take a step this year after being thrusted into a more prominent role with Preston Zachman's injury last year. You know, might they bring in Marvin Burks Jr., who's a SEC starter? You have Javon Robinson from Arizona State and Wazoo, along with, you know, three other, you know, cornerbacks they brought in. And Jameer Scott, the redshirt freshman, in my eyes, you know, took huge leaps in. So that'll be interesting. And then obviously the edge, they need to replace Mason Reiger and Daryl Peterson with the pressures. You saw them really create opportunities in the backfield, wreak some havoc. And I think this year, you know, Sebastian Cheeks is going to have to make even more of a jump. I thought, you know, he had a ton of pressures. He just didn't get home on the sack, so the sack numbers weren't necessarily there, but the pressures were. You know, Nick Clayton's a sophomore standout that I think someone to watch. Tyrese Fearbury and whatnot. So, but yeah, I think this defense, I think, has a real chance to be really good, especially with the schedule too. With when you're not playing Oregon or Ohio State or having to go to Michigan, etc. So that schedule should also help out as well.
And Jake, flipping to the offense real quick, we talked earlier in the show, we gave our top five lists of the most important instant impact additions that the Badgers made. So we looked at the transfer portal guys, ranked them. In your mind, outside of Colton Joseph, who do you think will be the most important transfer portal addition that the Badgers made on the offensive side of the ball?
Offensive side of the ball? Okay, there's two that instantly come to mind. Oh, three. One, like, we got to start with the offensive line, Austin Kwiecke from Oklahoma State. You saw what happened with Wisconsin last year where, you know, Jake Renfro was injured. You also had to deal with, and then you saw, you know, what was it, four different centers throughout last year.
Yep.
And so Jake Renfro is no longer with the program. I believe he's at Illinois. Mm-hmm. But you saw how, you know, they went then to Kerry Kadenko. And then Ryan Corey for the Alabama game. At that Alabama game, they had three redshirt freshmen going against the Crimson Tide, college football playoff, contender there. But then, Davis Heinzen had to switch over into that position and from initially starting off at left tackle. So you need to have more, you know, there's some stability there. Kwiecke, you know, looked the part at center. You know, I do think that, you know, we'll see how Ryan Corey, if he can take steps forward as well. And even someone like a Styles Blackman, who a D2 transfer from Augustana, you know, comes in and, you know, he's working in at first team left guard here and there. And he also got some second team center. But, you know, I think the key piece is, I would say, offensive line is center. I mean, the other two, really quick, are Abu Sama III, the running back from Iowa State, just because of the run game and how important it is within Jeff Grimes' offense, within this wide zone type of scheme. And I think Sama needs to, you know, I think he's going to be important, as is Darion Dupree. Brian Jackson, really, you know, the USC transfer looked really good too. He's a bigger back, but he had some, explosiveness and athleticism, you know, to the second level of the defense. But I think Sama is a really important one to pair with Dupree and Jackson to give, you know, to switch up things with Wisconsin in terms of, you know, different teams, different personnel that they face and some of the matchups they could exploit there. The third one real quick is Jacob Harris, the tight end from Bowling Green. Felt like he caught everything that was around him. He's a big, tall, I think he's like 6'6", 270, was able to make leaping grabs, diving grabs, could be a really intriguing target, not just in the red zone, but just in the passing game overall. And I still have to watch a little bit more of the blocking coming up during fall camp, which, gosh, it's less than 6 weeks away. It's kind of crazy. But I think that he could be a really interesting fit within this offense and what they can do, with Colton Joseph at quarterback.
What's the one position group we'll be talking differently about in November than we are now?
That would be linebacker is always going to be linebackering. I think cornerbacks. Let's say cornerbacks. It's going to be interesting to see. I really liked Robinson in play, and I like I said, Jahmyr Scott like was getting first team reps, and he's a redshirt freshman. He's a, I think he was a 4-star recruit by Rivals in the 2025 class, and I he looked really, I thought he stepped up in a big manner. Obviously, he's still room to grow as a second year player, but I do like someone like a Bryce West who came over from Ohio State, former consensus 4-star recruit, and seeing him primarily in the nickel, in the slot, I think is going to be a big upgrade. From how I saw them play, I think you can use them a lot of different ways. And Kai Bates, and Eric Fletcher, the two other transfers, they really remade that cornerback room. And so and from last year where, you don't have any more, you don't have a Carter Hallman anymore. You don't have a Hill. You don't have others, Emilio Agard and there's a couple others, but it's, with this group, they really remade this cornerback room. And I think it's going to, it's one for me that I'm going to be watching. But, you saw four guys really work into the first team reps at those outside cornerback slots. And then you have West in the nickel. I think it really could be a good year. And you also have Robert Steeples coming in as cornerbacks coach. You bump Paul Haynes from cornerbacks coach to secondary coach to kind of oversee, the corners, the slot, the safeties overall, from a little bit higher of a perch per se, instead of just homing in on a position group. I think it's going to help out. And I think Wisconsin, like I said, it's, I'm really intrigued with the athleticism. And I think you saw some physicality on the field this spring, and we'll see just what they can do coming up in fall camp.
All right, Jake, big prediction question for you. Now, we talked earlier on the show about Phil Steele's projections for the Badgers in his giant college football preview book earlier, and he believes it's possible for the Badgers to get 8 wins this season. If I'm Vegas and the odds maker and I set the line at 7.5 wins for Wisconsin in 2026, you're taking the over or the under, and why?
I mean, y'all know I'm an optimist just by trade, not for the team, not anything like that. I think it's possible. In fact, I think it should be the standard. And that's just how, just with what they have going on. Yeah, Notre Dame's going to be tough. We saw what happened pretty much 10 years to the day where Wisconsin upset LSU. Now, LSU was in definitely in decline, and I would argue Notre Dame is continuing to fire up underneath Marcus Freeman, and there's a lot of Wisconsin-Notre Dame connections within that staff and whatnot. But you go ahead, you have two other, non-conference games, but then, I think there's a chance against Penn State on the road to start Big Ten play. It's going to be tough. It's, you're going to Happy Valley, but, we'll see what Matt Campbell does at Penn State and just how they're also adjusting with how many transfers and just the new pro, another program after what happened with James Franklin last year. And I would also say, games at Iowa, that's going to be tough, right? But they get Minnesota at home at the end of the year, on that Friday. They don't have Michigan. They don't have Ohio State. They don't have Oregon. And so I think, the tough matchup, I would say one of the arguably like conference wise might be USC at home in October. But I also feel that if they're at home, that could really help them out. And I think, Wisconsin, in my eyes, could, if you call it an upset, upset the Trojans. I think one sneaky game could be UCLA just because of the fact of, I like what Bob Chesney's done throughout his coaching career, and you're seeing UCLA make some strides on the recruiting trail. And I'm really intrigued just with his pedigree, what he could do with the Bruins. But, I do feel Wisconsin's got a chance. I feel like it almost should be the standard of getting to 8 wins, and we'll see who, what else goes. There's always those games that, this is, for me, it's the year for Wisconsin. They beat some ranked opponents where they beat Washington and Illinois at home. They played Oregon tough. They played Indiana tough for a half. But now it's like, okay, can you go on the road to Penn State and get that win? Can you upset USC, depending on where they're ranked and whatnot? What can you do against Notre Dame? So I think those are the kind of the big questions in year 4 for Luke Fickell, especially with this offense that they're boasting is going to, kind of go back to what they've done at Wisconsin with the run game. And we'll see just what the defense, if it can live up to more, not just, a top 25 billing like it was in some categories last year, but can it be top 15, top 10?
Jake, awesome stuff. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime you need me, let me know.
All right,
you guys gotta come over. I'll grill up some food for y'all. We can do a patio show or something.
Perfect.
Something like that.
Fantastic. We'll do a live remote.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. We appreciate it, Jake. This is the Jump Around on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams.